irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And some cock.
You got that right, buddy.
And a baby crying.
Slap a baby, it's so good.
Slap a baby and call me Jesus. Wake up, Hollywood.
Wake up, Hollywood.
The post 4th of July edition.
Independence Day, right?
Independence Day. We're freedom fighters over here. Wake up, Hollywood. Filling in for Eddie Pence, Mr. David Jensen. Say hello to David Jensen. Oh.
Hey! I think they remember the last show.
Well played. Well, what did you do the last show? I think you maybe were slapping babies.
Yeah. Yeah, and monkeys.
Monkeying around, always. How was your 4th of July?
It was great, man. It was great.
Did you light any fireworks?
I didn't light any fireworks. I went to designated areas to watch fireworks that were professionally and properly detonated at safe distances.
So, you know what's really funny? Mm-hmm. I know I'm getting old because I actually went out of the district, mm-hmm. Area mm-hmm. so that I could buy fireworks. But in my neighborhood, as you know, there's not a lot of open space.
No. Yeah.
So, it's really a fire hazard. So, I'm like, yeah. Dude, I'm like, I could get these. And I was like, let me have a pack of sparkler splitties. Like, it was like so
all the
anti climatic. I was like, yeah, give me the lamest fireworks you can.
Yeah.
Just so I can light something and still feel like one of the cool kids.
Yeah.
I felt pretty
did you light you so just sparklers?
You know, I haven't even lit the sparklers yet, and I have like a ridiculous amount of sparklers. Yeah. Like they gave me 3 packs of 10. And they were like, oh, and you get a free box if you buy it. And I was like, what am I going to do with 60 sparklers? So I'm thinking about lighting them all at once. That's the plan.
Nice.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
One extravagant.
Yeah. One sparkling
mm-hmm.
sparkler.
Yeah, the Leonard Cohen quote, better to light up all the sparklers at once than to gradually fade away.
So but there were a lot of fireworks, as I'm sure there were in your neighborhood too.
Oh,
going
yeah.
off.
Yeah, it was like nuts.
Crazy.
I was down in San Diego for the holiday, watched fireworks down there, got into L.A. at like 1 a.m.
What, our fireworks aren't good enough for you?
L.A. has fireworks aplenty, and they was going off still when I was driving in. Like
right.
1 a.m. afterward, when I pulled off the freeway, I saw this kid running, and right at an intersection, he lit a full-on firework inside of a garbage can.
Ooh.
So I drove past this intersection. I was, like, at a safe distance, but to see this just poof, erupt into sparks flying across the road, and people were driving through it, I was like, it's bedlam.
You're like, these kids today.
It's bedlam.
You know, there's definitely a crossover as mm-hmm. you get into adulthood
yeah.
where you're like, yeah, this is a good idea. And then it's like, these damn kids with their fireworks. I'm definitely in the old guy category. Like, I'm like, mm-hmm. these damn kids with their fireworks. I'm ready to just gong it all. Gong it all. Yeah, double
yeah,
gong.
Double gong. There
double
it is.
Gong. I'm very excited. We've never had a double gong on this show.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's nice to be back, buddy.
I'm getting a little emotional.
It's getting teared up.
No, honestly, it's been a while since you've been on the radio
with
us.
It's been a while.
you can leave now. You just quoted Stained, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I had to put 2 D's in there.
Apostrophe
you put
D
two D's in a lot of places, if you know what I mean.
I stained it in the quote.
I actually went to a place, I think I was telling you on the way over here, called the Starlight Bowl, and I'd never seen
the Starlight Bowl.
You know what? You really should have been like the Starlight Bowl.
You're right.
Yes,
that is better.
The
okay.
Starlight Bowl.
You told me, and I heard about it, but I'd never been.
There were like dueling pianos mm-hmm. as the opening act, and then there was like a Motown band playing like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. I'm mm-hmm. like, you know what? Like I've done that the last couple years. I've done a tribute band and fireworks, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I did Beatles last year. This time was like 60s Motown nice. Funk stuff.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's it. Music and fireworks. That's like the way to do
that's
it for
the
me.
Peanut butter yeah. and jelly.
That's the peanut butter and jelly for me. It's like, oh, you know what, 4th of July? But then I came back and Otis was going crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the poor guy looked worried. Like there was just, yeah. It was like, dude, I felt so bad. I felt like a bad parent.
Same with Keaton. Like I mentioned, I left him in San Diego with his mommy
with
for
his
the week.
Mommy.
Because he's been having a hard time, man. Like, I don't know how and where they get him, but my neighborhood has had a non-stop supply of very illegal loud fireworks. You know in Mary Poppins,
it sounds like
house,
that.
The one house in Mary Poppins where they light off the cannons?
Yeah.
I got like a couple of those dudes living
some
around
some of those
me.
Fireworks are intense, man.
Yeah.
Like, there was one that literally, and like, you know, these kids that are lighting fireworks, they're definitely
these rap
these damn kids like with their fireworks
and their sidewalk so, surfing.
Literally, there was one kid that he fired a bottle rocket towards like an apartment complex. Like
yeah.
I watched the flame go; it was like going off like a missile into the side of a building. I'm like, yeah. I was like, this is not going to end well,
yeah.
you know. But yeah. A little bit of that.
Yep,
someone's
yep.
a little sound effect.
I had
heavy.
To dive in deep.
I like it.
I was just trying to punctuate this.
Yeah, you can keep sculpting.
Right,
I like it.
Right.
I like it.
What happened when this
some of those fireworks, they would just explode over, like right. It felt like they were right over,
mm-hmm.
you know, the living quarters, and. Poor Otis, he couldn't even take a dump. Every time he tried to take a dump,
mm-hmm.
I was like, come on, we'll go to the front yard. We'll go to the backyard. We'll go to the side. And like every time he was like in squatting position, they lit like the perfect, loudest, craziest firework
yeah.
to scare that little, you know, turtle head right back into my, right back in there. You know what I mean?
But how was this morning?
Why you no friend?
Probably got out for the morning walk, was looking around and Dunzo.
You're on fire. On fire, I say. But fireworks are good.
Yeah.
And they're getting louder, and I'm losing a little bit more of my hearing as a result, but mm-hmm. they were a lot of fun. Did
yeah.
you see anything cool that was different about the fireworks?
Not different about the fireworks, but in the morning it was cool because there was a neighborhood in La Jolla that we went to where they've been doing like a local little neighborhood parade. He's looking for a sound drop. There it is. And so we got to see this like just homespun one like street like thrown together parade that was super cute.
Were there any bugles?
No bugles.
Any clowns?
A few, not like the one sitting in front of me, ladies and gentlemen.
Any animals? I'm sorry. This is what makes it fun, though. I mean, really. You
yeah.
showed me. Honestly, you came more prepared to our radio show way back when, in the beginning. And you, because of you, I have this now itch to.
I would like to apologize to the listener if I in any way encouraged.
You did. But I saw a couple of smiley faces.
Uh-huh.
That's not
in
new.
In the fireworks?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
did you see any new like types of fireworks?
I saw some new fireworks. That's what
okay.
I'm getting to it. Easy.
Okay, hold on.
Easy. Don't
3D fireworks.
No. I saw. So they had these fireworks that were like drip fireworks that explode,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd see them kind of like drip into another explosion.
Oh, so you were on mushrooms
no,
this whole time?
Not
no,
at all.
Okay. No.
But
okay, gotcha.
But the crazy thing is they were all different colors.
Okay,
so,
now we're back into
crazy.
The...
No.
All right.
But it was pretty crazy. It was, you know, I always try to see, like, what fireworks shows are going to try to do the last... You know, there's
yeah,
always
yeah,
one
yeah,
firework,
yeah.
the guy's yeah. like, when do they see us next year? This yeah. one's going to really be down the house.
Yeah.
yeah. And
B. Arthur, the firework.
And the funny thing is, this year there was a song, like, you know how they do all these patriotic songs.
Katy Perry.
I didn't get Katy Perry, but I got I got that last year. But you know, they did like Ray Charles. Mm-hmm. They did like a bunch of country songs. Mm-hmm. There was one song that clearly you were like, this is definitely the firework guy's kid that is in a band. That he was like, Dad, please, can you just play it, please? And that song was in the mix. So, and it was so funny. Like, everybody was like, who the hell is this? You know, like, what song is this? But, yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Dave. Boom. Nice. But, anyways, it was a good fireworks experience. And I'm glad it's over.
Yeah.
For the dog's sakes. Mm-hmm. But it looks like our special guest has arrived. Bassist Frank Abraham, how are you?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Wait. Our studio audience is applauding you. Yeah, oh, you gotta wait. I'm
sorry.
There you go.
Sorry. How are you, Frank?
Right. I'm great, man. How are you?
Frank, I haven't seen you in a long time. And one of my favorite memories with you, like, we did a show in Philadelphia, right? I think it was Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was
way fun. Back when. Mm-hmm. And we were on the road, and like, you know, I like to get like a late night snack after I eat.
I know you do, buddy.
Easy. Hey. And Frank was the only one that was like, dude, I'm so down. And I was like, we should get some Philly cheesesteaks. And then, you know, call it a night. And man, the funniest thing was we went to this restaurant. We ate Philly cheesesteaks. We both got the itis, like mid cheesesteak, like we were in a like a food coma, and we could barely move. And then I think you woke up late. I woke up late. Half the band woke up late, but mostly
we made it. We made it, dude.
Barely. But
I remember that gig because I didn't bring a sweater on that gig. I was freezing.
Oh yeah, you said that. I remember that.
I was like, I don't need this. We're going
to Philly. I got
this.
All
right.
So how you been, man? You've been playing with all kinds of great peeps.
Man, I've been great, dude. You've been keeping busy, working a lot, dude. Just,
yeah, that's
playing a lot around town, touring with a couple different people. And
I'm gonna jump into one of my favorite things that I saw on Facebook that you did.
Yeah,
you played with Kimbra on the David Letterman show.
Yeah.
Dude,
awesome,
dude. That is you played the. Probably the best year to play on David Letterman. That was his last year.
Speaking of cold, that studio was actually colder than Philadelphia.
Did you bring a sweater that?
Oh, man. Like, I had these gloves on like 2 seconds before we played. She's like, are you going to take those gloves off? I was like, yeah.
People would always mention that. Like, yeah.
You're like, do I have to?
And
that's tough, too, for one song. Like, to just be, because you're not going to get warm.
You got to get in.
Yeah. That's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
But man, you played the late show with David Letterman. Did you get to meet him?
Yes, I did.
Dude, that's so crazy.
Cool. Such a cool guy. He came over and shook everybody's hand. It was so nice. And it was great to go out, you know, history-wise, just like playing on that show for his last year. You know what I mean?
I'm a humongous Letterman fan.
Me too.
Like,
have you guys seen the bearded, what he looks like? I'm like, people were like, this is ridiculous. I was like, you know what? Good for that dude.
I think so.
Happier than I've seen him, and like he deserves it. That's, you know, like growing up, I loved him so much. Like,
he's the best.
Whatever he wants, whatever makes that guy happy.
Letterman, totally. And you know what? Yeah. You don't even think like something as simple as growing a beard would be something that's like a stipend in, you know, part of his contract or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But dude, totally makes sense. Like, I'm just gonna like never shave.
Forget.
Yeah. Be a grizzly man. But, man, that was crazy. I saw that, and I was like, dude, Frank, you're living the dream, man. Playing with Kimbra.
Yeah.
You've also played with the Endangered for years.
Yeah, the Endangered is my, my original band that I share with three other guys and one lady. It's kind of like an alternative rock meets
heavy
R&D,
funk.
Yeah, funk, jazz kind of vibes. Together.
Lincoln Cleary is one of the people that's in the band.
Yeah,
he was a guest on our show not too long ago. Maya Sykes, also.
Maya Sykes is the singer.
Lead vocals. Crazy good vocalist.
Yeah, Gene Coy on drums.
One of the best drummers in the world.
And then we got Nick Block on guitar, who's a great guitar player and a great studio engineer.
Awesome.
In his own right. Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the basics.
Okay.
Way back. What got you into music? What made you want to pick up the bass? What was that moment?
Sorry, we're going back now.
So let's go back.
And we're there. Okay.
So let's take it back. What was the moment where you were like, A, I want to be a musician, B, I want to play bass, and this is what I want to do?
Well, it's actually kind of a funny story. I was probably never meant to be a musician. I always wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be on stage. My sister was an actress in high school, and she did musical theater and drama and everything, and I always wanted to do that. I took music in 8th grade of junior high school for the sole reason of going to Magic Mountain at the end of the year.
There's always a carrot.
Always got to go, and I was pissed that I didn't get to make it out there on that
And you
trip.
were out in L.A.?
Yeah, I was out in L.A. Cool. I went to Laces, which is in West L.A. somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I went to Hamilton High School. That's where I kind of like, because I learned how to play bass in 8th grade, that kind of took over and was like, oh, you're not an actor.
And that's like I didn't know that's a very artistic, like, talented group of students that go to that school. Like,
yeah, Hamilton is one of the best musical high school, artistic actually, high schools in Los Angeles. From anywhere from dance to jazz to acting.
And I never knew that existed.
The crew behind the scenes, you know what I mean?
You always hear about Crossroads. I'm sure you've heard of Crossroads.
Yeah, actually, Maya went to Crossroads, which is another great school in LA.
But that, I mean, it's a great school. But man, I know more people that I've been like just totally impressed with musically or acting wise or whatever that went to Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton was great.
You went to school with Matt Hayes and Linden
Rochelle. Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
It's like
that's
my brother, man. I heard he was just on the show.
He was on the show too. Yeah. Maybe about 2 months ago.
Oh, nice.
Love that cat.
Yeah, he's the best.
What were you saying? Come in with your joke. Yeah. Uh huh.
I also heard that Hamilton is a really good musical. That's all. That's the end. A good musical period is the end.
Yeah, there were lots.
Like an adjective, but no, it was a noun.
Radio, dead space. Never, we never want it. You just succeeded in the longest dead space we've ever had in 2 years.
I say, I've heard that Hamilton is also a really good musical. You got to lean into it, buddy.
Yeah. You rook.
All right,
it's all right.
Get it back. I'm sorry for
No apologies.
Shaking
Come on.
It all up.
We like that. We like that. So you went to Hamilton.
Yeah.
And then when did you? You said you picked up the bass in 8th grade.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was the moment that made you want to play bass?
I was probably about halfway through 9th grade. I got into the jazz band. I got kind of thrown into the music program like really fast. I was a super beginner. In 9th grade. Halfway through, I was playing Carmen, you know, the opera, like from back in the day. Yeah,
yeah,
flamenco.
It's like 30 pages of opera music, you know what I mean? And I was playing it in 9th grade. That was pretty much the moment that I knew. And then I got into jazz band that same year. Then it was like a struggle of, am I going to be a classical musician or a jazz musician? And I'm neither now.
But you know, that's how it starts.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not a classical musician either, but that's where I started. Exactly. I actually did Carmen at the LA Opera when I was a kid.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But you know what? It was like anytime the Bad News Bears theme song came on, you know, which is from Carmen, that was the highlight of the whole opera.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, dude, I can't wait till that happens.
Yeah.
And then it was like, it was like, okay, there's nothing to look forward to after that. There's nothing.
I'm peeking
there's
early.
Nothing. I'm peeking early.
Sometimes you gotta light all the sparklers at once.
Yeah, all the sparklers at once.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's like, I don't know any of the rest. Yes, that's it. I'm out. So you were doing classical. Did you learn to do bowing?
Yeah, I was doing the whole bow thing, which I'm terrible at now. I don't think I can even hold
that's
that
tough.
Thing right.
It's tough.
It's so hard.
Especially
man.
On bass.
Yeah, it's something you got to do all the time. But I was doing that whole thing, and then kind of like towards the end of high school, I kind of got more serious in jazz. And
did you start upright first? Or
upright,
like,
yeah.
Wow.
Upright, definitely upright, yeah.
As an 8th grader?
I was an upright bass player. I don't know how I'm going to say it. But
dude, I'm going to give you... straight up, I'm giving you... The studio audience is going to give you a round of applause just for being an 8th grader and starting with upright. Because that instrument is humongous.
Yeah, it's big. Yeah.
Even if it's a 3/4 size as an 8th grader...
Yeah.
That's a humongous instrument.
Yeah, man, it's a pain.
How did you not get turned off from playing bass by lugging that thing around?
Well, at first, I mean, I didn't have my own upright bass. I would just go to the school, and they would have all the bass.
It don't matter. Even still, it's so awkward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It don't matter if you only play it when you're there.
Yeah.
That thing is so big.
It's so big, yeah. It's kind of a pain to carry. It's not heavy, though, like, which is a good thing about it.
It's just hollow, right?
It's just obnoxious.
It's
hollow,
It's obnoxious, yeah. I had to, like, lay my front seat down in the car and, like, kind of slide it in there.
It was around the 8th grade that I realized what a big instrument I had.
Easy. Dave, keep it cheap.
Right.
Keep it cheap.
Ayo!
Rated.
Sorry, fellas.
So when did you switch to electric?
Man, that wasn't until college. So after high school, I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Okay, wait, that's a huge... Okay, first of all, it's one of the best music schools in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what made you want to, like, pursue it past high school?
Man, I was checking out a bunch of schools, and I knew I wanted to be a musician. Especially by 12th grade, I was pretty into being a musician. I was already doing, you know, gigs around town and getting paid professionally for them.
And were you doing rock bands, jazz gigs?
Not just everything? Jazz gigs. I was a big jazz head. I was not doing anything else. I did not.
You were one of the purists.
Man, I didn't.
That's how they all start.
I was terrible to electric bass, man. I was the worst ever. Like, it was so funny. Like, I would try to play. People were like, yeah, man, you should pick that up right back up. So I went to Berklee, full ride scholarship for jazz.
That's amazing.
Which is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great to get it. Thank those guys that gave it to me. And it was a great opportunity. And about halfway through, I kind of just realized I love jazz, but I was getting burned out by it, and I really wanted to make more money. Right. And I wanted to play for more people. And,
right.
You know, jazz is a great art form, but, you know,
it's changed.
It's changing, and it's changed for the better. Like, a lot of the newer guys are playing more contemporary jazz music where, like, the younger generation can connect to it. But in the world that I was in, it was just like, all right, play this Charlie Parker song for like the millionth time. How fast can you play it, and how many different keys? And this guy's sitting in the back, like, with their arms folded, like, oh, this guy sucks, or this guy's great, or that guy's better than this guy, or I'm better than this guy. You know what I mean?
And well, the funny thing is like, jazz and classical musicians, like, first of all, like, all music can be broken down by jazz and classical.
Sure.
But I feel like both those schools of logic or music thinking, they become so heady about the technique or whatever that they lose sight of like how powerful that music is.
The music,
really is.
Man,
the music is so good.
Yeah, our job as musicians is to take people out of their daily things that are going on in their head and take them to a different place, man. It's like, you know, I don't care if anybody knows that I'm the best bass player or if so and so is a better bass player than me.
Right.
Like, I just want to be a part of good music.
Yeah.
And if your band is good, then I'm happy to listen to it, and listen to my band and enjoy
this
that.
This is why we play music together, Frank.
Exactly.
This is why we play music together. No, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, it's funny to hear you say that about jazz musicians or jazz, you know, aficionados, because I dealt with a lot of that with the classical school, and I always looked to jazz musicians as being like, oh man, those guys would never do shit like that. But I've heard you're not the first person to tell me this.
I mean, all musicians do it, style, man. Yep, you go into the church and they do it too, you know what I mean? But at the same time, they're doing it for the love of music. I mean, and the same thing in jazz too. It was just my experience at that time that was that helped push me into like opening up my musical ideas to play other stuff. So about halfway through Berklee, I picked up the electric. Never had a lesson on it in my life.
Just
kind of picked it up and
that's
got
a hard instrument to just pick up.
Yeah,
even if you know bass,
it was tough. It's definitely like a different instrument than playing upright to switch to electric. So I switched, and it was rough at first, but I started liking it more. I started playing. I got into a hip hop band at Berklee called the JHO, Jazz Hip Hop Orchestra. Which was very
clever name.
I know, right?
They ain't fooling anybody. What do we call this thing? I don't know. It's got jazz. It's got a hip hop thing. It's got an orchestra.
Well, let's just call it what it is.
Did you? Was that the impetus to pick up the electric, or was there something before then?
There was definitely the want to, because I saw a lot of people. My friends were playing electric, and they were playing a lot of cool gigs, and a lot of people were, you know, like I play. Like I was saying, I'm playing a lot of gigs, and I'd be like guys in the back with their arms folded. I always wanted to play in front of girls, man. Like, that's why we all play music.
Like, I don't want to press you anyway.
I don't want to press my beats.
So true. It's so true. It's like, you want screaming girls. You want, like, get in that vibe. Like,
if
that's
what's
at.
The dudes will be there.
Yes, that's true. And if the girls love it, you know what I've noticed, too? If the girls love it, you'll see those guys in the back come up to you afterwards, and I'll be like, yo, man, that was some cool shit that you were playing. Like, but if those girls weren't there and it was the same music, they'd be like, man, you don't know what to do. It's like, don't let that sway you. It does.
Very important.
Yeah, it's very important. The girls are important. All right. Keep going.
I joined that jazz hip hop orchestra. It was a little rough at first.
What was the instrumentation, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh man, there was like drums, bass, one or two keyboards, two guitar players, like two or three singers, two or three rappers, horn section, trombone, trumpet, sax.
Wow.
Maybe two each of those.
I have anxiety already just trying to put together a rehearsal for that group.
It was a college band, so like, you know, everybody was in it.
Yeah,
it was a class
that's
everybody signed up for.
That's
and then
awesome,
we turned that into a smaller group. Damn, what was that group called?
It's a jazzy hip hop.
I cannot remember the name.
The SSJHO, the smaller subset of the jazz.
Smaller jazz hip hop orchestra.
It was smaller, but it was with an MC named Radar Ellis, who's a guy who teaches at Berkeley, and he performs and does his thing in New York. And then we took that group and turned it into another group called J4DA. We got a lot of acronyms in there. Yeah. And that stood for Jazz for That Ass.
Okay.
So, I like that. Yeah. All right.
So that was kind of like the marriage of like my jazz world with hip hop, and we kind of put it together. We had two horns, a trumpet, and a saxophone player, Igmar Thomas on trumpet, Donald Lee on saxophone, Lyndon Rochelle on drums. Toughest Zimbabwe on keys, who is playing in the house band for Saturday Night Live right now.
Everybody's
working. I mean, Igmar's doing his thing in New York. Donald's doing his thing here. And you guys know about Lyndon.
Yeah, of course. I'm going to play with him tomorrow, actually.
Oh, nice. Tell him.
The rehearsal. Yeah, I will. Yeah. I will, for sure.
Yeah.
What a top class act of musicians that are playing together. What were some of the things that you learned playing with a group like that? Like, you're new to electric bass.
Okay.
You're playing all this cool, funky, jazzy, hip-hop stuff. What are the things you're drawing from the musicians that you're playing with?
Man, one of the main things I drew was... I've always been blessed to play with great drummers, great piano players, guitar players, horn players, and everything. And one of the things that I really took away from playing with all these great musicians that I play to this day is that... to stay out of everybody's way. Everybody stay in their lane. I'm going to get a shirt made that has a bass and a trumpet and a singer, and it's going to say, stay in your lane.
It's
going to be great. But that was the main thing that I learned from playing with all the musicians that I've ever played with.
It's so tempting from bass.
Yeah, man. You know, you want to play all this stuff, but, you know, as a bass player, man, you gotta be...
So it's like
cool.
You gotta play cool. Cover your bass.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Stay pun intended.
Stay yeah. Cover your bass. There you go.
So,
actually, the bass that I'm playing right now is because of you, Nikki. You're the one that
look
told
at
me.
This. Look at this.
Learned it.
I was playing this like super jazzy bass, and Nikki was like, "Man, that's not your sound, bro. Yes. You need to get that P bass, man.
P bass,
all day."
Dude,
so and I have a four string now that I play all the time.
And dude, you know what? I remember you came into rehearsal with that P bass, and I was like, I said it to you right after. I was like, that's it, that's your thing. And like seeing you play on Letterman, I was like, that's my boy.
And you were on a J bass before that, jazz bass.
Yeah, it was a jazz bass. Yeah,
and you don't realize that it makes a difference, but it makes a difference. Yeah. Different pickups, different sounds.
I can't even touch that bass now.
Yeah, when you find that thing that's your thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take credit for that because you did the work and. You made it happen, and man, but I remember hearing.
But it was
that.
An inspiration, like, man.
Dude, high five, dude. You're too kind.
Do you remember?
Having a moment. Are you a little jealous?
I'm a little jelly over here. Do you remember that first electric bass you picked up? What kind of bass was that?
That was a PV, man. Back in the day, that was my first bass, and it was like it weighed 50 pounds. It was like the heaviest bass I've ever had in my life. Actually, I think Scott Morrison. I gave it to Scott. Yes,
Scott.
Yeah, and it was a PV. It was, $100 bass, $150 maybe. It was cheap. You know, that's what you do when you're a kid. You get the cheap guitar, cheap bass.
I love what you said about like staying out of the way of parts because it's easy as in any instrument to indulge to just play whatever you want to play.
Totally.
And not playing for the music. So, like, hearing you say that, I'm like, God, this is why this guy's playing on David Letterman, playing with huge names, or playing with some great musicians, because you do those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, it's all about knowing the song, too. I mean, Brandon Coleman, good friend of mine, he's a great piano player, an artist himself. I remember when I first moved here, he gave me some great advice. I was like, man, how do I get some gigs here, man? Like, what is one thing that I can do? And he's like, all right, well, there's a couple things. One, show up on time.
Yep.
And know your part and know everybody else's part.
Yeah.
You know, and that actually helps you when you know everybody else's part. It helps you like, okay, that something else is going on here. Let me
Well, you're listening.
Here.
You're listening.
Listening is
it's
so
like a live breathing thing, man.
It's so crazy cuz a lot of musicians like they
don't
get to listen, man. Like
I know.
I'll be in a rehearsal, like we'll be playing something on the speakers to learn and they're like playing along with it. It's like, "No, don't play, listen."
Yes.
Listen to it. You just missed it.
Well, speaking of listening, let's play something that you've been playing on. What's the name of the tune?
So,
why don't you give us a little... I'm going to have you plug into this right here.
Yeah, yours.
So you set up the song for us.
So this is my band, The Endangered. This is we are currently in the studio, like working on stuff right now, so we don't have a project out yet. But this is...
Hey, no excuses. This band is better than most bands I've seen.
Yeah.
We played together, the House of Blues together.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's actually you know, no bullshit. This is one of my favorite bands in LA. That's how much I love this band and the players in it. So that I'm gonna stop you and be like, hey man, no excuses. This is a badass band, and just introduce it as a badass band because it is.
Yeah. Thanks, man. All right, well, we're working on our project right now. We're sitting in the studio. I'm going to play three of the newer songs that we've been working on.
Awesome.
Let me know what you guys think.
Yeah, what's it called? What's it called?
This is called Dreams of Dreams.
So groove-alicious. I was saying this before, but man, I could just hear you and Gene playing for an eternity. Like, that's, if I'm about to go out, that's the rhythm section I want to hear going out, because man,
that was nice.
It's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
It's so funky. Yeah. It's so funky.
Yeah, yeah, the syncopation is there, and it's like always new, it's always fun, but then there's a consistent groove to the whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
it's hypnotic.
You're never out of the...
Love it.
Yeah.
And we're right now it's fun because we all come from a jazz background, and we're kind of like reinventing our sound right now. This song that I just played for you guys is like more electric, Like, I was playing the key bass on that one the whole time. I didn't even touch the regular electric bass. We got a lot of, like, produced, like, sounds and...
It's bitchin'.
And all kinds all kinds of different electronic kind of stuff. And
it sounds actually, ironically, stuff, because you and I were in Philly, it sounds very Philadelphia, dude.
Oh, thanks,
it's got
man.
That Philadelphia, like, edge
yeah.
vibe. Like that.
I could hear that. Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Mmm, I love it. Maya Sykes, her voice is like butter.
Ah, oh, she's the best.
I mean, and yeah. then you got all these great musicians. The cool thing, it's like you expect a room full of all these great musicians to just be overplaying all over each other just because it's like, oh my God, everybody indulge.
Well, man, I mean, it's
everybody's
hard.
Out of the
In
way.
In the beginning of that band, we actually did do that.
That makes
all
sense.
The time.
That makes, I would want to do that.
Some of the earlier songs, like, I don't even like playing anymore because it's like
nah.
It's just too jazzy, too much of like, hey, look at me.
Too much,
look,
too
look
much,
at me,
too much.
Like,
Yeah.
You know, people know I'm a good bass player. And if they don't, it doesn't even matter. Like, as long as they like the music,
dude,
you know what I mean?
Your groove is the shit. Thanks, like, man. It's like funky. It's like, I always get that face. Like,
Snake face.
And you know what? It's like, I gotta say, like, The Endangered is actually one of the best projects I've seen you play with.
Thanks,
like, I know you play with Kimbra and all this stuff, but that group of musicians, there's some chemistry in there that it's like, it's just banging, man.
I think at the end of the day, we're...
Bow, bow!
I think at the end of the day, we're all, like, really good friends. So that helps. Like, we've had a lot of, like, fights and blow-ups, and then you know, we hug it out, you know, cuss each other out.
Oh, so it's a band.
It's a band, dude, you know? It's great, man. But it's all part of the process. It's all part of the, you know, the relationship, if you will. Of having a band, it's almost like having a girlfriend.
Dude, you know it's I mean? It's worse because it's you get none of the play and it's all like drama and but then you get all this creative stuff.
No, it's great,
so
and then
great,
you know you have friends that you can rely on and. You know, it's funny. I've become like almost like sensitive to the fact when I see like somebody's in a bad mood or having a bad day or something. It's like okay.
Yes.
I got you.
So yes.
Come over here, sit down.
No, and it's so important. It's so important because it's like one of those things where
don't worry about it.
The band has a synergy. It's like a family.
Yeah.
You know? But it's more like you're married to everybody in the family.
Totally.
And there's all these dynamics where it's like if it's always moving in like this kind of like breathing, living thing.
Yeah.
But it's got all this electricity. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
totally.
One wrong move and something can go just haywire. Mm-hmm. But what I love about this track you just played is it's just like, it's all there. There's so much groove and like cool vocal arrangements and vibe and sounds. It's just like nothing
Thanks,
stands in the way. Like everything's just got this space, man. Very cool.
Thanks.
Very cool.
Appreciate it.
Woo!
Yeah!
Just gets me all hot and bothered! Alright, so, like, we're gonna play some more Endangered stuff, but tell us, like, you've been working with Kimbra for a couple...
Yeah,
maybe two tours, something like that?
It was, I think 2014 is when I started playing with her. She had a band, a New Zealand band, and I think... I'm not sure what happened with the other members, but with the piano player, he left the band first, and then they hired my buddy, Taylor Graves. Who is one half of the Graves brothers.
Oh, yeah,
his,
yeah.
His older brother, Cameron Graves, is a phenomenal piano player, just as Taylor is. And Taylor is actually also, along with being a great piano player, he's an amazing producer. Like, he writes songs for all kinds of people. He works with Thundercat, who's a great bass player. He's been writing on everything.
Kamasi Washington.
Yeah, Kamasi Washington.
He's been doing his own thing, too.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's a badass.
So Taylor is part of that camp, too, and he's a really good friend of mine. I actually met in high school at Hamilton and played in a couple groups together. I remember I was actually playing a gig with Brandon Coleman at the Bootleg Theater. Is it the Bootleg Theater? Anyway, it's some theater out in Echo Park. Or,
oh, yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. And so I was playing with him, and then Taylor and Kimber walk up, and he introduced me. He goes, oh, this is my friend Kimber. And I'm like, oh, are you like Kimber?
The Kimber?
Like, she's like, yeah, I guess so. And I was like, you sing that song. And I was trying to remember what it was. And I think
was it the Gautier track?
No, I think she thought I was going to sing that, so she was like looking annoyed. And then I was like, I was trying to remember her song, because she did...
Her record's great. That first record is
Vows.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I forget what song it was. It was Settle Down, actually. So I was like, yeah, you did Settle Down, right? And she's like, yeah, that's me. And
she was just like, oh!
Yeah, and, you know, she's such a sweet girl. Really nice. Really...
super talented, too.
Super talented. Like, one of the best singers that I've gotten.
And one of the best, like, writers, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Usually you get one... Not, it's not always...
Yeah.
You don't always get
the
writing
almost,
thing, but
yeah.
she's a complete artist.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. And so I just mentioned Taylor just in passing. I was like, hey man, you know, if you ever need a bass player, I'm all around. You
I'm
know,
your man. I'm your man.
I love Kimberly, man. She's I'd love to play with her. And a couple months later, she came. I actually I run another night at the Federal Bar in North Hollywood. It's
like a jam.
Yeah, it's like a jam. Well, we do a featured set with an artist, and I always like to keep it original music. So we do a featured set. This week we feature a great bass player named Hadrian Farad from France.
I love his name.
Yeah, I know, right? killing guy.
Sounds man. Like an animated character from Bugs Bunny.
He's a monster player. He's a jazz guy, fusion bass player, and he's amazing. He's doing his thing right now. But we're featuring him, and then we open the second set up for a jam session. And I forgot who the feature was. I think it was a friend of mine named Honey La Rochelle, who's a great singer around town.
Dude, you hang out with some cool names. I know names, a lot of people. Yeah.
Interestingly,
these are all good people. I want to give them all a plug.
I'm going to start naming myself like Caramel Ribbon. Like, that's it. I want that. I want you to introduce me like that. Just so I can know, like, I got something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so she, we did the feature with Honey, and then Taylor had called me and was like, yeah, I think I'm going to bring her by Kimbra, and she wants to check you out. And she's looking for a bass player. So I went to her.
Shit.
I went to two of her songs. Oh, she came up there and sat in with the house band, and we smashed, and that was it. Yeah. Then we did the first tour was a fall tour of her last album, The Golden Echo.
And that was like right as she was breaking away from the Gautier. Like,
She
had the first record was the one that was.
Vows.
Yeah.
Which was actually already done before.
But it was late as far as like how people received it. Like, people loved it.
Yeah.
But you knew her from the Gautier, and then you knew she was legit from that record.
Yeah, I remember that when I first heard that Gautier song, I was like, man, forget this guy. Who's right. that girl right now? Yeah, like, seriously, awesome. Not even because I play with her. I was like, literally, like,
no, she's awesome.
Girl right
she's
now.
Awesome.
Amazing. So then we did the Golden Echo tour. We did basically we drove from LA all the way to the East Coast. We did Life is Beautiful Festival in Vegas. We did New York and everywhere in between.
And you must have been playing like some of the biggest, coolest rooms.
Oh, man, it was awesome.
Festivals,
man.
Like venues.
It was awesome.
You're like,
man.
This is it. This is it. This is the life.
Yeah.
This is what. Exactly. I've come a long way from a high school jazz. Yes.
Yeah, it was totally different than playing in a high school jazz band, man.
Like, this is the shit.
Some rock shows, you know what I mean? It was fun. So we did that. We went to Australia and New Zealand. She's from New Zealand,
yeah,
so
that's right.
Her home
that's
country. Right. You know, I haven't even given the other guys in the band a shout. So Timon Martin on guitar. He's the musical director, and he's also from New Zealand. Great guitar player, great guy. And the drummer is Stevie McQueen, or Stevie Cat is his nickname. And,
that's a great name,
dude. They have a group
all
together.
Great names.
I know, right? They have a group together called Major Dudes. another production.
So does Dave, but it's a totally different. Hey,
that was a short film.
Cinemax.
Sorry. I had to.
Oh, man. So, yeah, those guys are great. They still live in Australia at the moment, but I'm hoping that they're going to come out here. Come on, guys.
Come on, bring it back.
Bring it to the
well,
States.
Well, let's play another track real quick of The Endangered, because I just love that shit. So good.
All right, this one is called Better Days. It's a slower one, but it's. I think you guys will like it.
Cool.
It's here.
Yes.
We're making. Songs for
Nice.
It's pretty.
Eat it up.
Dave was like, that was awesome.
Thanks, man.
And you know what's cool about that track? I was not expecting The Endangered, like a very R&B, hip-hop-ish, funky group, to do a sound like that. That's what's cool about a track.
Thanks, man. I think everybody like kind of looks at us and they expect us to be like this R&B band, and That's not where I am. I want to be like a rock musician.
Yeah. Like, well, you want to do everything.
Yeah.
Anything and everything.
Yeah.
That's what like great writing is, and like it's cool to hear it like, you know, that raw and awesome. Dude, killer track.
Thanks, buddy.
Let's talk about your The Endangered. Where can people find The Endangered? Where are you playing, or what kind of stuff? I know you're working on a record right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now we're kind of in the lab right now. We just did a... Well, it wasn't our residency. A couple friends were on there. Her name is Desi DeLauro and Ricky Padgett.
Dude, I swear, I want you to have a friend named John Schmo. Just because, like, these names... I feel like I'm in, like, the Chronicles of Narnia. Like this is... You have some... Cool Harry Potter school friends, man. Like, seriously. Like, I'm just waiting for you to be like, Glenn Berg is going to show it. Like, there's no names like that. Sorry.
Gandalf the White is on.
So Desi DeLauro has a band. How do I describe this? It's like hip-hop and R&B meet ragtime. Whoa. So it's really cool. It's actually really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're good friends of ours. They had a residency last month at the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood, and we opened up for them two times out of the month.
What a great venue too.
Yeah, it's a great venue. It sounds so good in there. We're going to be releasing some videos and stuff soon.
Do you have a website? Endangered?
Our website is actually down right now.
That's all right.
We're gonna put it back up as soon as.
What's the website once it's done?
It'll be theendangered.com. But you can also
spell it out because
the endangered. So that's THEENDANGERED. So
that, that was also a quiz you passed.
No, I was like, I don't have the spell check. Oh yeah,
you're like, damn.
Got
it. Come on,
let me get my gold star, dude.
You got it. You got it.
Damn.
No, it was good. That was good. You're always like, what I love is you're playing with some of the best musicians all over the country, really the world, if you include Australia, New Zealand, and then you're also doing so many different styles. Mm-hmm. My last question for you before we play something else, like, how do you change gears like that so quickly?
Man, it's about having respect for the music. I look at different styles almost like putting on a different hat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There are certain styles of music that I can play that I'm not the best at, that I will tell people that straight up. Like, I'm not a slap bass player at all. Like, don't ask me to do that. But I can play funk, but it's more the finger style.
Yeah.
You know, James Jamerson.
It's more important anyways.
Yeah, James Brown kind of thing. That's the funk that I like. I don't. Yeah. I'm not like the Larry Graham guy, even though I love Larry Graham. And, you know, he's one of the best bass players. Godfather. I take a lot from his playing. Marcus Miller, too. I love Marcus Miller. I do not sound like Marcus Miller at all.
Yeah. No. But that's okay.
It's fine.
That's like a slick thing. And some of that, sometimes not that hip. Like,
and it's awesome. Almost like going into Guitar Center and like shredding like for guitar players.
Totally.
But like,
that doesn't move me. It just doesn't.
Oh, like, seriously? I can't get enough. I'll just go in there and sit. And
just sore subject. Like, David, I used to work at Guitar Center. So it's a very sore subject.
It helped to scratch the itch for a while, but I was like, come on, a little play Blink-182 is going up three more times, please.
And he was an electrics. He was an electric.
And can I get some Enter Sandman from over here? Same
you
time?
Work at Guitar Center? I worked there too.
Nice.
Way back in the day, man.
Nice.
That's like we're like a legacy.
Oh man. Well,
we're gonna play you out. We're gonna play like maybe a minute or two of something you got.
Sure.
Frank, man, we want you to come back with the Endangered.
I would love that. When you have your album. I think I would love that too.
And man, you are such a great guest, dude. That's we got a jam too.
Oh, like, absolutely.
What the hell?
Absolutely.
We need a jam.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
So, dude, thank you for coming. Check out Frank's band, theendangered.com, and we're going to sign us out with, what are you going to play us?
This song is called One Day.
All right.
Another one of our new ones. I think this is mixed, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
You know, we're still working on it, but I hope you guys like it.
Release the Kraken!
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Yeah, dude, man, so slamming, so grooving. Frank, We're gonna have you back. We're gonna have you back, Frank. On behalf of Dave Jensen, filling in for Eddie Pence, I'm Nikki Carulla. We'll see you next week. Wake up, Hollywood!
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.